I am Freya. I'm a tattoo artist. I wanted to be a tattoo artist since I was 15 years old. I went to art college and studied art at university in order to get here. I apprenticed at the place I'm at now. So I've been there for about 2.5 years now. I started 4 months after having meningitis, which was quite difficult. It was very tiring, but I knew that I had to go for it then because these opportunities don't come up very often. Yeah, now I'm no longer an apprentice. I just tattoo people all day and do drawings all day, and it's pretty brilliant, to be honest. I'm really happy that I've got here finally.
I'm Ben, lived half my life in Finland. I'm a cobbler.
And how long have you been together?
4.5 years.
Sure.
Thing. Okay, so how long had you been together when you had meningitis?
It was just under almost two years. So I was at work, I was working in a bar, and I was getting a really achy neck and shoulder. And so I asked to finish work early. Ben was working somewhere, I can't remember, and he was coming to pick me up. But he took a while, so I had a couple of pints of cider. We went home, I went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night just shivering, and I couldn't stop shivering. And Ben was just piling warm things on top of me, hoping that I'd stop shivering.
There must have been about 6 blankets and a couple of coats on.
Yeah. And then about like 6 in the morning, I got up and vomited a couple of times. And I just thought it was the ciders that I had. And then I just kind of slept for the rest of the day. And then about like 5 p.m, we phoned my mum because I was not feeling good at all. And she told us to call 111 because my temperature was about 40 degrees. So we did, and they just sent us to the out-of-hours doctor. We went to the doctor, and he was, like, trying to explain to me that I've probably got the flu. A lot of it's going around at the moment. He got us, like, we kind of got up to leave. And then Ben noticed that I had a bruise or something just forming on my chin. And he just pointed it out and said, like, what about that? What is that?
Yes, I don't know if it's any relevance.
Yeah.
But do you know what that is? And then he just said, right, sit back down, we're calling an ambulance.
I think they stabbed me in my leg with some antibiotics.
Yeah. Your parents came over straight away. I called them and they came over. Your mother went with you in the ambulance.
My mum was really terrified, but I didn't realise how serious it was.
Yeah. As we went into like the intake generic ward where there's some people had been there for like days, a couple for weeks. We sat there for a little bit with your parents. After a couple of hours, they went home. I stayed there probably 3 or 4 hours afterwards. They said that they're taking you to the ICU. They rolled you off, took me into the lovely little waiting room. Where I was stuck for four or five hours, not knowing anything. Just really scared. And then you got into ICU, I think it was around 2 a.m. 6:30, I think it was, when they allowed me to come see you, even though it wasn't visiting hours. Just sat with you, chatted to you. You were just out of it completely. And yeah.
I do remember the doctor who admitted me to ICU. No one told me how serious it was at all, but now looking back on it, he would come into the room every half an hour or so, hold my hand and look really worried.
He was a nice guy. Yeah. I had to Google it in Finnish to find out what it actually was. We don't go around any bushes in Finland, it's just brain lining infection. which made me understand quite how just how severe it really was.
Yeah, I still didn't think it was that serious. And the next day, I somehow texted my boss. It was a load of, like, it wasn't very well written. It looked like I was really blank. But I texted my boss, like, I'm just in hospital with a spot of meningitis, so I'll let you know next week. I think I'll be in on Friday. But, yeah, I spent 2 weeks in hospital after that.
One of the first times you were properly happy when you were in hospital was when Vicky, our friend, came round. And Freya just wouldn't stop laughing. She was talking about the clouds on the ceiling. High on morphine.
I don't really remember any of it. I remember she sat in the room. I don't remember talking to her. I think I thought that she was a nurse at some point because I was saying, because my eyesight was going really bad, and I think that's what the clouds on the ceiling was. It was that my eyesight was going, which was scary for me because I'd just finished my degree in art, and eyesight is like my favourite sense.
Quite an important one, one might say.
And I do remember when she left, she told me that she sat in her car and cried for about half an hour before she was able to drive home.
Well, it was when I was in the waiting room and the only thing to read there was two pamphlets, one about how to deal with a loss of a loved one, and the other one was we get organs from ICU because people die there. And yeah, it was just really scary. Then the doctors checking the vitals every time they came in, because they were coming in like every 5, 10, 15 minutes.
I was fine. I didn't think I was going to die. I didn't know how serious it was. I was just in hospital feeling a bit bad. They were like sticking tubes up my throat to try and make me breathe, and putting respirators on me, which I was just taking off. And they were like, your blood oxygen's too low and your lungs aren't working properly. You need to keep this on. But I just didn't feel like I was in any danger because no one had really told me that I was. I just remember my heart rate being really low.
Yeah. It was... I mentioned it to Simon, one of our friends, and he was like, you're not supposed to be alive if it's like that.
So when we came out of hospital, I think I was pretty... like, in a kind of daze on the first day. Like, I had to be helped to the bathroom. I lived at my parents' house for the first week, so I had a bottom floor bathroom. I don't think I could climb the stairs. I was just in pain everywhere. Like, every muscle I had was aching. Like, my left side was a lot worse than my right side, and I couldn't... like, do things. Like, I was trying to put shopping in a bag and just kept missing the bag and things like that. Yeah, I had a wheelchair for a while. Yeah, it was mainly just because people kept totting at me when I was walking really slowly in the shops. And also, if I was walking, I'd just get really tired straight away. So
wouldn't be able to be going around for a long time.
Yeah, I'd have to spend a day in bed after doing anything. And we basically used the walking stick as like a physical thing to show that I was not able to walk very well. It helped me because my left side was weak, but it was mainly because people were really rude, like walking behind me, tutting because I was walking too slowly, and because I'm a young person and I should be physically fit. I think people were not very understanding.
Yeah. First off, I was doing, like, so yeah, help Freya down, make food for her, clean up, go to work for 10 hours, come home, make food for us, clean up, and that was it. For a good few months, there wasn't anything else. I started to have to work more and more, doing 80-hour weeks whilst caring for you. Couldn't get any carer's allowance or anything because I was working. Can't be a full-time carer if you're working over full-time.
So that's a lot to deal with anyway, but a couple of years into a relationship, like the fact that you're still together now, you've been through loads.
Yeah,
I mean, we're stronger. Not that we were week beforehand, but no, I think we've just got a bond that you can't really get otherwise.
I think it shows a lot about Ben because he was 20 at the time, and I don't think most 20-year-old guys would stick around and like become an adult overnight, basically, and get a full-time job and care for someone at the same time. So I'm a lot slower in speaking. I sometimes get my words mixed up, which kind of makes me a bit shyer.
You get frustrated with yourself. But if you just give yourself time and it helps you to count syllables whilst you're speaking, you get through it.
And then my neck and back have been really hurting. It's been getting better since I've been going to the gym and got a personal trainer, but it still happens when I've had a busy week or something, or when I'm not very well, I feel like my neck kind of swells up. I've still got a patch in my eye where I can't see. It doesn't really affect me now, I've got used to it, but in the beginning it was really, really dark and it was the only thing that I could see, but now I only really see it when I try and see it, and my hearing is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I've got vertigo.
Yeah. If you have had a long week or just generally tired, we might be walking around a shop and her left side will just start to give in. She'll almost like limp every now and then. So then we need to just link arms, tighten, walk together.
Yeah, I feel I get fatigued quite easily. If I've worked 5 days in the week, I usually work four, but sometimes say I'll work a fifth day if someone wants to be tattooed on that day. I think I need to be stricter of myself not to do that because I am really tired after that. Sometimes there's a lot of things at once and I do need a day of rest, at least a day of rest a week.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's so busy that I can't. So I just don't, and then I'm just really tired and grumpy, and
yeah.
That's when I start getting pains and my left side starts getting weaker again. So I did some counselling and some life coaching through Believe and Achieve, and that really helped my mental state. Yeah, they just taught me how to cope better and also how to manage with other people better. And the getting back into fitness day from Believe and Achieve helped me think about getting to the gym and getting a personal trainer who's really lovely and understanding and has kind of helped me build up my strength to stronger than I ever thought I would be.
I think it's really been a key part in your getting better though. Like, it's just offered the motivation from day one. Yeah, Believe and Achieve, the events that you've been to, every time you come back you just feel more confident, or you seem more confident than you were before. and it's made you realise that you're not alone with all the things you've had. Yeah, it's been amazing for you.
I feel I've been better. Like, sometimes I'll have a day or two where I feel a bit worthless and stuff, but then I kind of look back at where I was and where I am now, and also think about the future and think, like, yeah, it's not so bad. I can be better.
I never expected meningitis now to be so, like, supportive towards me, seeing as I am just a partner, been a carer. All I expected was maybe a coffee. But yeah, to be allowed to join in on the events, and just all the support you guys have given me, it's really amazing.
So I started, the first event I heard of was the residential last year. So I was really nervous about that. I was really scared of meeting new people and what they think of me, but everyone was really kind, and I think everyone was quite nervous as well. And we all made pretty good friends after like a few hours, which was really nice. And then I've been to several of the day events, and I've become a peer mentor now, and I've just started with my mentee, which is really nice. I think the health and fitness day definitely helped me get back into the gym and start thinking about fitness, which has really helped me. Also, I didn't conquer my fear of the high ropes, but I went on the high ropes, and I never will again. I thought if some people had had it worse, then they'd be like, oh, you don't deserve it as much, which is why I was hesitant to apply for the first residential, because I thought, like, other people would be like, oh, it's not fair that she went because she's not had it as bad as me, kind of thing. But everyone's just really friendly, and we've all gone through this experience, and everything's different, but we kind of have established friendships from that. But I still get really nervous about meeting new people and doing new things, but I feel I can look back on the things I've done in the past and realise that they weren't so bad, or not even not so bad, that I had a really good time. It's given me more confidence at work or with my general friends. I think I see my friends more than I was back then.
Yeah.
And at work I was kind of terrified to speak to customers just in case I messed up when speaking. And now I realise that if I do, people are generally quite understanding about it and will be fine if I, like, get a word wrong or stutter a little bit. I think the best thing is to meet other people who've had it, and I've done a lot of research about it as well. Yeah, just talking to people who've been through similar experiences really helps, and people who may have had meningitis like quite a few years ago, and ask them what they've done to improve. Yeah, I think Believing Achieve is really good because I met people my age who've had it, and I've been to events before and it's been older people or people with kids have had it, so it's really good to, like, have someone my age to talk to. My hopes for the future are just to just keep going, keep getting better, stronger, improving on work and fitness levels, and learning to speak Finnish, and I want to speak that pretty fluently.
Not the easiest language.
Not the easiest language. I'll get there.
You're doing good. You're doing good.
I think you should just go for it. There's nothing really to lose. everyone is really friendly.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing to lose. It kind of allows you to meet people who are in a similar situation that you wouldn't meet otherwise. Worst case scenario, you'll just have a day out